I was like, oh,
you're like a regular modern day saint.
Oh. I don't know. You know what it is? I do it for the banter, innit? I'm basically like a young Nanton, but more.
You're like a fucking tax man. You're just making sure that I'm earning enough to give you some money. That's what you're doing. I'm not going to say that.
Can I just point out, before you use all the funny things you have in your locker, of which that's one down.
So, he's out there, isn't he?
We're done. We're done. Right, anyway, lovely talking to you, boys. See you later.
Welcome to the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast, which is basically three Oxford DJs chatting about the world, music, and all other kinds of stuff. The three DJs are myself, Tony Trevor Nanton, and my co-hosts, Nathan Swift and Adrian Specs Prescott. We also have a Spotify playlist full of tracks that we've chosen, mostly mine, which is called My Middle Name is Trevor as well. So please get involved and give it a follow. Anyway, hope you like the show and catch up on the other side. Cheers. Well, today is going to be one of our fastest and shortest podcasts, because we're doing this because me and Nathan are going to be away next week. I am going to sunny Brighton because certain politicians and a certain pandemic has said that we can't go abroad, so we have to do a staycation, a new word, just like coronavirus, just like furlough, and all the other new terms you've had to get used to, but I'm not going to get into that. So where are you off to, Nathan?
I'm going to a very, very tropical part of the United Kingdom by the name of Southbourne.
Southbourne? Where's that?
Next door to Bournemouth.
Okay, I'm useless. I'm honestly so useless at geography. So for anybody who's like thinking, oh my God, this guy's a muppet for not knowing that.
Now, maybe this is just me being like boring and the only cool cat out of the three of us. But can somebody kind of explain a staycation? Like, you might as well just stay within your surroundings, right?
Well, a staycation is when you don't go on holiday abroad. You basically stay in the UK.
You vacay, but you stay. No, that's all long, man.
Mate, let me tell you.
That's unnecessary money.
Dread, let me tell you. We were booked to go to sunny old town Benidorm, which I love because it's
all
tapas.
You mentioned that on the podcast,
I'm in business. Yeah. I'm letting the world know, but Benidorm isn't just full of just lager out. All right, mate. So
not until you arrive.
True. I remember the first time I went to Benidorm, I was like, "What am I doing here?"
And he's been back every year since.
Yeah,
well, pretty much.
Well, when I just
excuse me,
an old...
Pedro, do you know how to make an old fashioned? No, yeah. I'll have a pint of your €1 lager then.
I'll have one of those goldfish bowls or whatever that pink stuff is. That's from the toilet. I decided we looked at going abroad. Everywhere you wanted to go to was being shut down. So I was like, you know what? It's not worth a hassle, because you know you're going to book somewhere, and literally, just as you're there, you're enjoying yourself, on the Wednesday, it'll be you need to be home tomorrow by, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something. So we decided, okay, we'll go Brighton. Never been Brighton. Well, I have to work, but not to actually to hang around as much. So we booked, all sorted, and then we got an email, no, phone call, 2 days ago. Our hotel has had a burst water main, so they're going to refund every of their money, because basically all the floors have been ruined by this water. And I'm like, you've got to be joking. So of course, she goes into one. She's, oh my God, our holiday's ruined. I'm like, we just book another hotel. Literally 5 minutes later, sorted. I'm on the beachfront this time, and it's like 40 quid cheaper, all done and dusted. But for like, three, 4 minutes, the world had basically gone completely, like, just wrong.
I'll tell you what got out of that explanation, that you're a cheapskate. That's it.
Did you say I was a cheapskate? You, right. Anyway, Nathan.
Hang on,
so
was that new information? I don't feel I've learnt anything so far this podcast.
You know, it's just so annoying, though, because obviously, look, I don't mind doing my bit for the economy, but as we said, as Nathan mentioned a couple of pods ago, really good shout, which I read about but didn't look too much into. I often wonder how much of this is aimed at having a dig at the old EU and letting them know that, you know, you need us more than we need you, which actually isn't working out, whoever, but we're not doing politics. We are, though, going to talk about some bits and bobs that have affected my life and you guys. And you know what? I am still getting over the end of last week's podcast. Potato salad will go down as a classic forever and ever. More so, just hearing Nathan just die.
I'd like to point out, I didn't actually die.
No, you know, but...
You're alive. You're here alive and kicking me.
But I am pleased to know that my death would entertain you, and you'd still be happy about it a week later.
Oh, my word.
Okay. Oh, my God.
We need to give some credit to some Muso stuff. Firstly, Robert Bell. Robert Bell has died. Cherish the love we have. Cool and the Gang. Celebrate. Oh, my. Mate, Cool and the Gang. You know, lead singer. He's gone. Is it Robert Bell? No. What was it, James? I can't remember who it was. The lead singer of Cool and the Gang has died. How bad's that?
No, I tried to keep it in.
It's the lead singer. His name's James.
Why did I say Robert? It's Ronald Bell.
No, hang on for a second. Let's get something right here. Because if it's the lead singer, his name isn't actually that. So it's obviously the guy who actually started calling the Gang. And if he's that's the case.
He was the co-founder.
Yeah, so that's harsh. That is up there with like when Maurice White died. You know what I mean? That is harsh. I'm not a massive Calling the Gang fan. But the tunes I did were great. It's kind of that thing that they went a little bit kind of like, But those tunes are timeless. You know, the fact that people still play Celebrate and still love all that. So, yeah, you know, Cool and the Gang, kudos to them. Sorry I didn't really give them enough respect, but they are still a great pop band who started off as jazz, which is really odd, you know. So that's that. Anybody got any love for Cool and the Gang?
Yeah, love a bit of Cool and the Gang. I'm big fan of Cherish. Less so of Celebration, I think, because...
yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
But I love Fresh. Fresh was
tune.
Fresh was one of my favourites.
Yeah, no, and all that, I mean, they did some like really good funky stuff back in the 70s. Very much like Earth, Wind & Fire. You know, they had this, started off as a certain vibe and then need to make money. And they basically went down a pop route. But, you know, it was pretty good. Kanye Specs, have you any thoughts on... Calling the Gang, or are they too old for you cool cat or cool cat?
Nah, I think when a conversation's kind of going this direction, I shut my mouth. Reason being, I'm aware, but being the age that I am, I'm gonna just point out the bait tracks where you then like not give me the flowers that I deserve even less.
Yeah, so. I love that. Stop bringing the flowers in. That's not fair. I love that line. The flowers is a great line. We didn't discuss last week the truly, 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 truly appalling, in my opinion, verses with Brandy and Monica, which I thought was the worst of a lot. All that hype, all that. Two young ladies.
Sorry, just to interject, this is one of those moments where, like Specs just did with Calling the Gang, this is where I step out and keep my mouth shut.
Mate,
off we go.
Nathan,
in saying that, Nathan, you're not alone, because... What happened was, we discussed it, didn't we? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. And I didn't. I said I was going to watch it at work, and I didn't. And then when T asked me, and I turned around and said, you know what? I've not watched it. He was like, don't bother. As soon as he said that, that's the only time in my life I've listened to this guy, and I just left it alone.
Are they still arguing about who the boy belongs to?
Did you see the trailer, the up-to-date trailer, though?
No, what's happened with that?
So, you know the guy who's in it? Who's the actor? Is it Mekki Pfeiffer or whatever his name is? The guy who's in the original video?
No.
So what they've done, it's on their Instagram, it's on the Versus Instagram. So what happens is, on the build-up, where they just kind of like advertise that the battle is happening, they've basically done like a little trailer before...
I did see that. Yeah, I did.
And it was of him coming out of the supermarket, like basically getting a phone call from Monica and getting a phone call from Brandy and so forth. It was good, innit? When I first saw it, I thought, yeah, this is good.
But that was good, and that's why I thought, right, they're going to deliver on this. This is going to be something special. And then they walked into that room, which was well laid out.
Do you know what the problem is? Well, it's not even a problem. I feel that that was easier to promo. I feel out of the ones that they had, it was easier to promo.
Yeah,
so and maybe everybody was over expecting what it was.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good shout, because it's that whole 90s R&B thing, so I get that. Like we discussed before about Chris Brown and Usher, even though they're more noughties. But when I saw Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle, I just knew this couldn't go wrong. It couldn't go wrong. And when it started, they start off with a DJ playing some great tunes and stuff. I saw, I've seen Gladys a few times, and I saw her last at the Blenheim Palace, and she missed a few tunes out of what I thought she'd do, but then it was the Blenheim Palace audience. So they both sit there in the chairs, and they kind of messed up. They didn't realize they were live at first, so it was kind of off radar, but then they just got into it, and it was, all I can tell you, it was spiritual. It was beautiful. They got on like two friends who've been in this business a long time, and they know how to back each other up. There was no bitchiness. There was none of this, I had more hits than you. It was what you did.
It was pure love, wasn't it? It was pure love from the start. Yeah, that's true.
Yes. I watched it three times now.
You watched it three times?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in the wrong kind of atmosphere when I was watching it, so I couldn't really get into it. It was a lot of start and stopping when I was watching it, which ticked me off massively.
I watched it first in bed, then kind of watched it during work, had it on, music on, and then watched it again, was it yesterday? And yeah, they're just, but what was really outstanding, we already knew how great they were as singers. Here they are now in their 70s and still powerful. Still better than 95% of any singer in the market right now. Gladys Knight getting up dancing to her tunes was just like, you just wanted to get up as well and just bust to, just drop foot. She was just out. And Patty like laughing at her and getting involved as well. It was a show. You could have put that on at prime time, 9 o'clock, on any TV show, and people would be talking about it the day after. It was that good. And in the very end, I'm gonna basically spoil it for people. Dionne Warwick comes on. Dionne Warwick comes on, and they sing. Okay, that's what Friends is for. Was schmaltzy, but when these three ladies are singing that song, and then they do Superwoman. Now you tell me, you try and bring me any current Western world artist who can touch them kind of emotions, and this was just a little verses. My God, right there is a Grammy for best music transmission of the year. With that simple 1 hour and 18 minutes, they went beyond, absolutely beyond. And I honestly loved it. I loved it, and I'm just so glad that it was naturally, absolutely genuine and fantastic. And even now, talking about it, You hear me just rolling it, because they made it look so easy. It was like watching your favourite two aunties just singing a busted song. It was just,
that line so, does sweet me.
It was, you know, can you just imagine, I remember when we were doing this, and they just, and the voices, just, I'm sorry going on, but it was that special. Which leads me to something else. Even though she's not in the same league, I'm going to give somebody else a nod of respect to a real great modern day artist who I never used to get into, but she's on it now. Taylor Swift deserves all the props in the world for basically just being Taylor Swift and doing as she likes. Like Billie Eilish I mentioned recently, Taylor's just dropping tunes and they're pretty incredible. No, like Beyonce, just going, you know what, it's Wednesday, I'll drop an album, thanks. and then you listen to the album and you go, you know what? I wasn't really a massive fan, but I can't deny this is actually really good.
She's kind of been on a journey, though, hasn't she? Because she started off with all the teen pop country fusion thing, which is, you know, student anthems, as we'd call them. And then she started to integrate other artists and go down different paths. And like the one she did with Kendrick Lamar and stuff. And it was kind of, I'll see where you're going with it. So I think she's done her test period, and now has just kind of gone, oh, do you know what? She's just a name now. She is just a name. And as you say, she can pretty much do what she wants rather than having to conform to what everybody thinks she does.
Nah, totally. Loved it. I just love a new stuff. Cardigan. Love it. Would I go and see her in concert? Not really sure, but she deserves being where she is now. She deserves the Glastonbury love. Yeah, she's on it, and I'm going to give her total respect. And which brings us back to talking of acts deserve respect. We mentioned him briefly last week, I think. Roachford Didn't mention it, but he had a new album out.
Twice in a Lifetime.
Yeah, great album. I just wish Roachford had enough money to get a decent producer, because as much as I love his stuff, I'm in this really weird Facebook group where they love, it's a Roachford appreciation thing, and you can't knock him in any way. All I ever said one day was, wouldn't it be great if he got a really good digital desk, and a nice warm analog desk, sorry, and a good producer like Salam Remy. And honestly, 180 people in this group all turned on me. How could you slag off Andrew? Rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm saying his recordings always sound really cold. It would be great to basically, if he had a budget, to just do something, just put him that bit of a level higher. Always sounds good. But you know, it still sounds as though it was recorded in 1990. And I think he deserves better than that. He's a great artist. Great album, by the way, but great album. What do you think of it? Good?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Yeah, I had it on a pre-release. I think that was their way of pacifying us over postponing the concert three times.
Okay, no, I get that. Right. I want to get back to some music stuff in a bit, but I'm going to move through. We were chatting fitness last week, and I injured myself. Adrian, you've been running and stuff. Have you had any kind of injuries, any like bad knees or anything like that? Has there been anything that you've done that's made you just feel, you know what, I can't do this today? Any issues?
Yeah, it's more like my knees started to kind of like not give way, but you could see that I was overworking them as well, so I just had to take a couple of days out. And then you kind of catch yourself slipping, or you catch yourself in a kind of like downward spiral, because it's easy
to get that.
You take that time off, get caught in the sauce, and you mean then what happens is one day turns into 2 days, then turns into 3 days in a week, and then you're like,
mate, and this is where I am now.
Yeah,
because I have this I told you last week I've got this Apple Watch sharing thing I'm doing with one person specifically, and it's kind of like one of these things, like every time an activity ends, the other person sees it in their watch. So like all of last week, mate, I was non-stop. I was on my bike, I was walking the dog, I was doing this, I was in the gym, I was doing two different types of exercise in the gym. My watch was killing it, my timings were great, my rings, my exercise rings, were all just basically being broken by about 12 o'clock on the weekend and stuff.
That's
so I was giving it all honestly, I was smashing it, absolutely smashing it. But I noticed Thursday, Friday, because I was doing a lot of cardio stuff as well, so I was on the treadmill, yeah. I was on one of them weird ICG spin bikes, and then I noticed a tweak in my back. And I wasn't, like, I don't do, people, regardless of what people think, I don't do super heavy weights. So any deadlifts I concentrate on. I don't do benching 100 kilos. I can't even bench. I won't do numbers. I'm not that strong. It's the only deadlifts that I'm pretty good at. So I was doing stuff over the weekend, and I noticed that when I was breathing, it was I couldn't breathe in fully. And I thought, nah, Dread, don't let it be now. After all this talk, but I've got the big C. The COVID's coming to get me. I was like, no, please. So Monday, I got on a bike, the spin bike, and I went to pedal, and I do half an hour, 45 minutes. I lasted a total of 11 minutes in the gym. I couldn't breathe properly. When I went on the chest machine to push something, my back hurt because it felt like my lung was touching my back, and it was horrible, mate. And I basically just had to rest. That was Monday night. I haven't been in the gym since, and I'm really worried because I'm going to be away next week, that's going to be like almost 2 weeks until I touch a gym. And like you said, once you kind of step off, coming back on, which normally for me is pretty easy, those first two or three days are just like the worst days.
Yeah, they are. You feel like you pay for it.
And do you know what happens after that is then it drags on and on and on and on and on. And then days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. You end up about £2 off your own postcode. And that's my life.
No, but you know what, Nathan? There's a difference between you, we've discussed this like only recently. Now, you've often said that you want to get into fitness. And for you, actually, and I know it's a matter of timing. I get that. There are ways of doing it. There's stuff you can do at home. I'm not going to preach to you because... I don't
do you know
want to
the,
be...
Do you know the most ironic part is 20, how old am I now? 26 years ago, I got my qualifications in fitness instruction. I was a gym instructor.
Yeah, but that's what happened.
Not even a lie. So I was a sports coach. I was a gym instructor. That was my life. And then I went abroad and stopped playing sport. Put on 5 stone in 9 years, and then came home. And then it just carried on. So yeah, it's my sister's a fitness instructor. She's incredible.
No, mate, I get it.
I'm like the worst advert in the world for her.
No. You know what? It's when I'm at work. Everybody thinks I'm at work. When I discuss gym stuff at work, I'm going. I'm lunchtimes. I'm like, don't contact me. I'll be in the gym. Oh, here he goes again. I don't go to the gym because I'm still 16 stone 8 or something. I go to the gym to keep fit. I go to the gym so that I feel good about myself. Go to the gym to make sure things are working. When I struggle in the gym, I know why. It's because I have that extra donut. It's because I went to Greg's the day before, you know, and basically, you know, I still eat bad. I'm not going to tell people how to eat. I go to the gym to make up for my sins. I still drink too much. I could stop all that. If I stopped all that, I don't know if I'd enjoy life so much. So the gym is at getting that balance. And this is why I've got into a bit more cardio. I hate running. I hate running. Boy, man, I wouldn't even run from the Ku Klux Klan with guns. I hate running. I despise guns. I'll do interval bursts to basically burn some calories, get what I need to do done. I can do the couch 5K. I've done that before. But fitness is simply about making your body flexible, feeling good within yourself, and you know, just generally knowing that you've done that bit. When we had Abby on a few weeks back, you know, when we discussed about mental health, I love watching her videos.
I like watching her videos on Instagram, and I find them quite inspiring. And I'd say, do you know what? I'd even go, because she's got this really cool little setup as well, hasn't she?
Yeah,
it's all women. There's no men.
It's because I think that's what she's kind of aimed for, and I think that's kind of scared a few blokes off. But
yeah, me.
But what she does with the ladies is really good, because I think when I used to go to gym with a good friend of mine, Croc, if you're listening to this, mate, come back, man, come back, feel fit, dash that up, place. Anyway, we kind of had this little semi-competition.
I'm glad that that will mean absolutely nothing to pretty much everybody that listens to that.
Yeah, but you know, so like, shout out to my boys.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah, Croc knows a lot of people. So, we go gym. Now he obviously wasn't going to do things that I want to do. We find a middle balance. So I'd lower my weights down because I want to do more reps to burn more fat and stuff. He would have to do less reps with more weights. We'd find that balance because he was useless. He's not useless. He couldn't do 80 kilos of deadlift straight away. So we worked our way up and we found a way that I would do 80 and do like 12 reps and he'd do 6. And that's how we did it. We found a balance. He was really good at running. I hated it. It got to the stage where he actually started hating running as well, because he was burning more calories doing mixed workouts, and also seeing that it was actually more fun than standing on that thing going duff, 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 for whatever it cost David Lloyd a month.
Saying that, that is boring. With the running that I do on the road, I went to the gym with my cousin because he was doing pre-season training, so we went, and he was like, okay, cool, we'll do the running on the machine. I got halfway in, and I was like, this is boring.
It is boring, mate. I only do it because it's light on my knees. So what I tend to do when I'm on a treadmill, again, boring stuff, people, sorry, but I dedicate 10 minutes, and I start off for 6 miles an hour, and I run 30 seconds for 6 miles an hour, and then you can change speeds, can't you? So my walking pace is always just under 4 miles an hour. But I bring it up, so every 30 seconds or every minute, it goes up an extra half or a mile an hour, and I bring the ascent up on the belt, on the on the treadmill. So then you end up going to like, I don't know, ascent, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, and you're doing a sprint for 30 seconds at 10 miles an hour. But when you stop and you walk, or if you might not even walk, you might just hold on to the side for 30 seconds, and you do it again. You're only really running hard for 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how long you set it for. That's the only way I can make that treadmill less boring, apart from couch to 5K. When I see guys on there for half an hour, I just run. I'm like, you're spending 30, 40, 50 quid a month just to do that? Really? Okay, I'll leave you to it, you know. But again, you know, it's fitness, and there's so much you can do. Going back to Abby, you've just seen those classes, Nathan, and she mixes it up. All the trainers we know, we all know somebody. Adrian, you know, Liam Chewings, great example. You know, people who just mix it up. They don't just do stuff like stand here and do some deadlifts and do some lunges. Yeah. You know, because it can't be anything worse than going into this room full of people who are grunting, doing the one deadlift they're going to do all day. You know, and just thinking, I can't do that. So when you see people inspiring you, like Habby, yeah, it's great. And stuff you can do at home as well, if you really put your mind to it, you know, you don't have the kit. But no, fitness has been a big deal, and I was concerned, but I kind of fall off. But the Apple Watch thing is definitely
when you've got
your mate.
Since I've got my energy's been different.
Yeah. Mate, when you're sharing with somebody, you think, even if they're just sharing their walk, you're like, oh, something else I did, but I didn't do today. But I'll go and get my bike and just get out there and do stuff. You know what I mean?
It's like this podcast is just tinged with sadness for me, because 2 days ago, my Apple Watch stopped working. The screen went.
Oh, mate. New one's out.
So yeah, but I can I'll just go down the Apple shop and go and
spend 500
quid in a new one.
Sorry.
Brilliant. Well done. Yeah, so it still charges, but unfortunately I can't see anything that's on the screen. So so that's another conversation I can't join in with. Anyway, moving on, see if we can get something. I have actually got some input here. Jeez.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. It's bad of me. do you know what I did today, boys? Confession. It happened. Do you know, it's been a while.
Is this the place to be making confessions?
It is the kind of place. It's my confession. I kind of lost my mind a little. I parked the car up. I walked into the joint. I put my mask on, you know, because I don't want to upset nobody, you know. I want to be cool. And I walked through, and I turned left, and I suddenly landed in heaven, baby. I spent some money in Uniqlo today. Before we get into it,
there's a guy I work with, right? And he said that he went there to go get some new bits and stuff. And he also says that if the trousers are so long for you, because they do theirs in a 34 leg, they would actually cut it for you free of charge on site.
They do it free of charge. Really? I got some ankle ones today, but I've also got some long ones. I've had jeans from there before, and I said, can you do this? And you come back an hour, they've done it for free.
That's not enough to make me go in there, but I thought, for the fact that service was there, is pretty dope.
That is good. You don't get that
today, today, I love that. Today, I walked in with this, got my stuff, and then I'm like, okay, it's a self-service thing. How does this work then? Okay. And the guy says, yeah, just put them in that like bucket thing in the till. I was like, all right, okay. So I stuck these items in this trough, and he said, right, just press a button. I said, okay. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And it knew exactly what was in that pile and added it all up, and I just paid. That's what you do. Just put it in this hole, and it knows what the clothes are, and then it charges you.
Okay.
I was baffled.
So, after it does all that, like, fandangle stuff,
yeah,
fold it and spit it back out in a bag for you?
Mate, but the thing is, it's already folded.
If it doesn't,
you've got it off
it's
the
all
shelf.
Long.
Oh,
does it wear it for you?
No,
did it pay for it for you?
I wish it did. That would be handy if it did. So yeah, I had my first Uniqlo shop in a long time, and that's when I realised life felt a little bit normal when it has been the last X amount of months, whatever. Do you know what I had last week? I did something really bad last week. Yeah, we are talking about fitness. Please forgive me, yeah? Friend of mine was on my case. Please get these things for me. Please get them. And I'm like, nah, because I'm not getting them because you don't need them. They're bad for you. And then I had some Cadbury's chocolate orange buttons. Now, I don't know why people are going mad for chocolate orange. I don't get it, especially Cadbury's chocolate. But let me tell you now, right? For the first time, I didn't know why they were doing it until I had some. They're not the greatest chocolates in the world, but chocolate orange is a taste to be savoured. And it's actually, you know, when you've had Jaffa cakes and you think, yeah, they're just like, but when it's proper chocolate or near proper chocolate, mate, come on, Nathan, you must have had some of these.
Are they better than a Terry's chocolate orange? I haven't had them. No, of course I haven't had them.
I actually think they are, because they're slightly creamier. I think they're nice. Okay.
This is coming from the guy who didn't put his chocolate in the fridge. So if he's your reference point, Oh. Let's dismiss that.
Here's a bad mistake. So yesterday, I did actually buy Cadbury's chocolate. I bought a bar for me and a bar for the wife.
Just plain one.
I left fruit and nut.
Oh, mate.
Where did you store it?
All right, don't judge. Hang on a sec. So I put my one in the fridge, and I put hers on the side. So it's there waiting for when she got in. It's like, ta-da, got your present. It melted. So she's gone to open it in the evening, and it's like chocolate soup. So I had to let her take my one out of the fridge and then put that one in. So, at some point we'll open that one up and see what it looks like now. It obviously won't look anything like it was when it was bought from the shop. But that actually proves the theory that chocolate needs to go in the fridge, because I put mine in the fridge, but I put hers on the side.
It's better in the fridge.
I put hers on the side purely so that she'd see it when she came in from work and going, oh, you bought me a chocolate bar, that's nice.
Why would you leave it on the side anyway? Why wouldn't you just say, oh, there's something in the fridge for you?
I think chocolate buttons can go in the fridge, but I wouldn't put a normal chocolate bar necessarily in the fridge. I'd rather leave it in a cool place.
Man like you, I don't want you like backtracking, mate. You said you'd put it in there, so I don't care what you say. If you mention
I think little bits of chocolate in the fridge, that makes sense.
You listening to this, mate?
Yeah, put it next to the tomato jam.
Tomato jam, that's right. With tomato jam, but don't go to the fridge. That's right, you know what I mean? Let's get this right. Next to my tomato jam and them weirdos having potato salad. But I do you know what? I will concede that little broken bits of chocolate, like a chocolate button, yeah, it should definitely go in the fridge. I'll accept that. I'll do that. I mean, if that's okay with you. Yeah?
Fine by me, mate.
For chocolate disappointment, no. Yeah, there was one. Malteser biscuits. Let's discuss what's going on there.
Now, Maltesers are a biscuit.
They are more biscuit than anything. They've even got this weird coconutty taste.
Now, break this down to me, please, because I'm alien to this. I'm not.
Mate, you know when you get Malteser, right? And it's that lovely, weird... It's not even a honeycomb.
It's the lighter side of life.
Exactly. It is the lighter side of life. These things are like concrete... Like biscuit slabs with some chocolate on the outside.
They have got nothing...
No. No, mate. Not at all. They're like... They're like if Poundland made Maltesers and then turned them into biscuits. It's not clever. I was really, really disappointed. The chocolate's not even good.
The disappointment in your voice.
Mate, do you know when you get a Malteser, they're shiny? They weren't even that. I was like, mate, well,
rather than wallowing in the misery that is a Malteser biscuit, can I ask a question to both of you? Is there a chocolate bar that you can no longer get that you would love to still be on the market?
Can you still get Clubs?
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. Yeah, you can, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was another one I used to kind of...
Trio? Like,
no, I wasn't a big fan of Trio.
I don't know about all that.
No, Trio. See, they brought back Whispers. When they brought back Whispers, that was me. And Twirls. Even Whisper, had a Cadbury's chocolate.
Do you remember the Spira, which was also... It was on the same sort of thing. It was two fingers, but it was like... Almost like a twirl, but outside.
Oh,
inside out. It's called a spiral.
I do remember that. I mean, they were Cadbury's as well, I think.
Yeah. They're the same range.
Right. Okay.
You guys eat way too much chocolate, man.
No, used to. I used to work in a sweet shop as well as being a fitness instructor. My life's been varied. So, do you know the one I miss? And that was the original Boost. The original Boost was in a red wrapper, and it had coconut and nougat in it.
Oh, can you still get Topix? Yes.
Topics.
Yeah, but Topics are dead.
You can still get them.
Can you?
Nah, but they're dead, man. I don't get the Topic. I've never understood that. You know what I mean? I was always a marathon Snickers guy. I didn't get Topics. Topics like the new guy was too kind of nah, not for me. Even at school, I was like, yeah, only the Marston kids had Topics. You know what I mean? And you just like, picked them. Like, you know what I mean? Marston kids. I swear to you, right? When he was at school, they'd want to swap their sandwiches with you, right? And you'd have, you know, like if you're an East Oxford kid, yeah. I'm sure it's pretty much the same in certain parts of Tame as well. There's certain parts where, you know, your sandwiches, well, they were made in layers, right? You'd have your lettuce. And if some of you may have had that sick, disgusting margarine or butter stuff. And then you had a little bit of tomato and you had your ham and maybe some cheese. It's done proper. Yeah, like now. Not Marston kids. Marston kids their parents must have hated them. They'd get the bread, some big, cheap old piece of bread, spread whatever was on it, it was the, I don't know, I don't even know where that cheese came from. It didn't look like cheese to me. And some cheap old pickle. And they come to school and they'd be like, yeah, do you want to do swaps? And you're like, mate, there's no way look, I know you're going to beat me up, right? But I don't care. You're going to have to beat me up because I'm not swapping myself with you.
Who were the mightier, the Marston kids or the East Oxford kids?
East Oxford kids, based on what he says.
The Marston kids were kind of desperate. They used to get a bus. A bus would bring them in from Marston to Oxford Boys and that. That was another reason to mock them. The fact that they had to come all the way to our territory to be in our school. And it was an old boys school as well, with Oxford Boys. Which, let's not go into that because
there's a clue in that name, isn't there? Did you pick up on that one, Adrian? Would that be in the same way that Headington Girls School, we can assume that the majority of the attendees are in fact female?
No, you're taking the mic now. Is that serious?
Let me tell you something, right? That school, Oxford Boys, got ruined when they made it a mixed school. You should have always said a boys' school. When they started adding girls... Girls, really?
Chill with what you're saying about this.
No, we didn't need to do it.
What you're saying is you preferred it when you were just at school with boys.
Mate, all that mad tension and thinking about the girls, thinking about girls and milling forward, thinking, oh, when's the next disco? Mate, honestly, after, the middle school that I went to, God, let's not discuss middle school. Let's not discuss the first person who had sex that we knew of. Let's not discuss cinema club. That's not a good look because she's actually dead. She was murdered. And put underneath somebody's patio.
All right, hang on a minute. You've just said, let's not discuss. And they've given us a load of part details.
The juiciest non-part of information that I've ever witnessed in my life.
What was that even about?
I, because people will mention names and I can't. And people will hear this and go, oh my God. Yes, but when I was at Squinner School, we used to have a cinema club. And one day there was this big discussion about two people who had intercourse behind the hedges, kind of there was a run of trees behind the school, the playground. Talk of a town. And he's an alcoholic now, and she is dead. She was murdered.
Was it that bad?
They ended up back later in life. Obviously, they got into different paths, and like I said, he's. Yeah, he might even be dead actually now. But yeah, she was murdered. Found underneath somebody's a near neighbour's patio. You could not make this stuff up, mate. You really couldn't. But yeah, let's move on to stuff that's a bit more brighter.
Yeah, please.
I believe. Yeah, it's because that was pretty dark. Do you know you sit in your car? Like, sit in your car now, right? Yeah? I didn't know this till recently, and I feel like an idiot. And you two are going to say, I already knew this, liars. You sit in your car. You've got your rev meter. Yeah, you've got your speedo. You got your fuel indicator and stuff. Did you know?
You're going to talk about the arrow.
I did not know.
See, that's how you're wireless. And you know what it is? It's not even the fact he's wireless. It's the fact that he's just had dry cars. That's all it is.
I never knew till somebody put it on Facebook. You know what's this about? And I'm like, what are you looking at? I had no idea what I was looking about. And then people started writing about this is like a couple of months ago, and I just thought, I've never noticed that. So the arrow on either side. Really?
Yeah, some car. Not every car has it.
Why would you not have it?
I don't know. They make cars.
Because it doesn't matter.
That's a strong answer. You can't. There's no coming back from that one. Well played, Adrian.
Well, you think that maybe certain countries who basically were aiming for the left-hand market aimed for that side and then decided, we'll put the arrow to the left. But actually, we're going to Europe now. We'll just keep arrow left and make it just walk around. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. But I did not know that. It completely blew my mind. Well, not blew my mind, but it made me think.
We've not explained it. So for
yeah,
if you like to, that'd be great.
You better share it with the world because at the minute you've gone on about something, right. And there might there's probably a small percentage of people that didn't know.
I didn't know the sign for the actual petrol sign in the fuel indicator in your car. Either side of it is an arrow, and that arrow. Tells you which side of a car will take the fuel in when you go to the petrol station. I had no idea. I'd never noticed it. I just used to buy a car, and when I got to the petrol station, I go, "Oh, right, which side's the actual? Where am I putting the fuel in?" And that was it. And that's how you worked it out. Unbeknown to me, but it was already in my car. There was a visual indicator of where the petrol flap is or diesel flap.
Now, how did that make you feel? As you're a guy who loves to know everything or loves to think he knows everything. What did that do to your manhood?
It didn't do anything to my manhood. It just made me think, why did I not notice that before? Why did I not notice that?
It's one of those things, though, isn't it? That you don't, you know, what age were you when you found out? So I've got one for you now. And be honest, I don't know whether this falls into your remit of things you do in the house. But when you open a new roll of cling film or foil, what's the first thing you do?
The first thing I do, I set it up so that from there in, it hopefully won't get caught or get all snagged and stuff. So that's what I tend to do. And I pull off a little sticker thing for cling film so it will stick to that. God, listen to my life right now.
So before you do any of that, take hold of the box in your hand.
I'll stick the fingers
in one each hand, and you poke the tabs in so that the reel inside doesn't come out of the box once you start pulling it. I never knew that. How many people don't know that they exist? And it's one of those things that Specs, fair play to you for saying I didn't know that. If you go and pick up your cling film now, there's two little cardboard tabs on the end of the box. Same with the foil. You bend them in and it holds the roll in place, because otherwise you're pulling off your cling film and next minute it's coming out of the box and then you have to get it back in the box. No, they're there to hold it in place so that doesn't happen.
So last week I heard this commotion in my the room where we cook food. Which I don't use my network.
Oh, yeah, which you didn't mention.
Okay, yeah. And I walked in, and there was my very frustrated wife. Not what you're thinking, ladies and gentlemen.
I appreciate your brutal honesty.
And I'm like, what's going on? But it's this. It drives me mad. And because she'd never pushed the tabs in on this box when she first got it, there was this completely messed up cling film that I then had to take. I've got one, a very sharp blade, and took it, hopefully thinking maybe just, you know, half a mil. It's never half a mil. You're literally pulling off short layers of this cling film until eventually you get to the uncut bit, which is that 1 mil ends up as about 1 centimeter. And yeah, I got it then sorted, got it done, put it back in the box, push the tabs in, all good, yeah? Oh no. She, the day after, takes it out of the box, just pulls it out and then tries to use it and then wonders why it's knackered again. So no, it doesn't matter what I show her in this house, she ain't listening. She'll do whatever she likes because she is some kind of mentalist. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, but yes, you are correct. That is what is meant to happen. You're meant to push the tabs in because that's what sensible people do if they realize how things are packed. Yeah, what can I say? And I'm glad that,
hopefully someone will have learned something tonight, either that there's an arrow to indicate which side your petrol cap is.
Thank you for that, Nathan.
And also you can prevent the rolls coming out of your cling film and kitchen foil.
Yep. See, there you are, okay? I want to talk about the diversity dance, but I can't be bothered because...
I've not seen it anyway, so... Yeah.
As Ashley said... it's just proved his point that actually there is too many idiots in this country. So I'm going to leave that. And
I thought it was brilliant. All my only comment on is I thought it was brilliant.
Brilliant. I thought it was brilliant. And Jim Davidson, mate. What's he? But I saw it. I haven't really watched loads of TV. I know we discussed the Love at First Sight last week, which I'm actually getting bored of now because it's getting to the end. and I found out, spoiler alert. Actually, no alert. None of them stayed together. That was 2 years ago and they all split up. So there you are. Ruined it for
you all. It's a spoiler alert, like anybody cares.
In all fairness, you haven't ruined anything for me because I'll just switch off the moment you start talking about it.
So there is, obviously there's, I discussed The Boys 2 on Prime, but I'm not going to go into it. Yeah, I'm going to discuss two very short things on programs on Netflix, and they're both absolutely brilliant and they're really short. One of them is called The Ghosts of Sugarland. I implore you all to watch this. I don't know if I've told you about this thing. It's basically about a small town. It's kind of Southern America. And basically it's this little town. And there's a lot of Muslim people who live there. And they're all pretty much of various race and stuff. But there's only one black kid. So that black kid ends up basically being working for cells, terrorist cells, or basically getting involved with them. All really weird, only 25 minutes long, but what makes this fantastic show so good is everybody tells a story wearing weird masks like elephants or distorted superheroes. and made it the only person's face you see is a photograph or series of photographs of this black kid. Honestly, it's 25 minutes long. It is just so worth watching because it's great filmmaking, really well photographed. Everything's really well done about it. And because it's only 25 minutes, you can literally watch it and then just go, right, I'm off to bed. So that's that. If you haven't got 25 minutes and you're feeling really tired, then the other thing I can recommend to you is John Was Trying to Contact Aliens, which is so beautiful. It, mate, it's only 16 minutes long and it's really heartwarming, kind of disappointing and kind of just yummy. It's really nice. So please watch John Was Trying to Contact Aliens and Ghost of Sugarland. That's the only two things I've really kind of given any energy to recently because I've been a bit busy. Is there any TV stuff you guys have watched? If you haven't, don't worry about it.
I followed the current trend and we started watching The Fall, which we missed out on 2 years ago. And actually, yeah, very good. Very good.
It's cool. I just didn't think it needed three series. It is good, though. She's great in it. I'm not a massive fan of her, but then she was great in the educating sex thing, or sex education thing. She was great. It's great. It's good. I think people think I don't like it. It's not that I don't like it. I just didn't think it needed to be three series long. Like Breaking Bad didn't need to be all those blooming episodes. Hang on. No point in asking Adrian because he never.
I was about to say TV. If you're going to ask me, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know what? So I've made a conscious decision to make to watch more television.
Okay, that's
done
cool.
My life down.
I've found another one as well, which I've just become weirdly addicted to in the last 2 days, to Go the on. Point that I've just watched one season, finished it. that is Car Masters, Rust to Riches. Right?
Oh, yeah, I said a bit of that. Right? That's all right.
So
yeah.
They basically, they get a heap and they do it up. But the idea is they keep trading up and up and up and to the point of getting a car worth three figures, as in £100,000 plus car.
Is this where they just, yeah, so they flip, they basically flip cars and the profit, that's where they get another car and flip it.
Yeah, yeah, and they trade them in and they do it, and it's like a 6-stage process.
And they have to do the lights on and pay for the storage and da-da-da-da-da, all that nonsense as well. So they've got to make profit by paying for...
Then the idea is that they get up to a point where they all make, like, you know, a decent share. But the nice thing about this is it's not... There's no staged arguments like a load of those programs are and people falling out. It's just they don't tend to spend hours and hours on each detail. The episodes are half an hour long. You watch it, you get a feel for it, you see them do a bit of work with it. Then they're looking for the next one. You've got one guy and it's his job to sort of hustle and try and get the next car or get the parts for the car that they're doing. And actually, you just get them to... So you see them produce these wicked machines and the whole thing sort of moves up the scale. Plus, there's a female mechanic and she's in charge of the engines. And she's very, very attractive.
But you know what? That's great. Okay, her being attractive is also always a bonus. But these programs often are just way too. This is why I used to like Fifth Gear on Channel 5 because, you know, you had Vicky Butler Henderson and she was, okay, she's a bit of a toff, but it was just nice to have somebody break down that kind of boys' club, which is what Top Gear became.
But the point is, she knows what she's doing. I did what everyone else would do and I Googled it and went, is she really a mechanic? Because she doesn't look like a mechanic, and she is actually a mechanic, and she's got a load of credit to her name for different things that she's done. But yeah, it's good. It's a decent little program.
There's only one issue with watching any kind of car program on Netflix. You watch one, and all of a sudden they throw like 100 at you straight away for recommendations.
Yeah.
She's a bit annoying. Right. Okay. Someone else. I said we're going to make this short, so I want to wrap up. Just quickly want to talk some very quick music things that have caught my ear. Didn't really check new releases last week because I was a bit busy. There was some stuff, but one that counted for me, Save Till Last. Just want to give a lot of love to a house tune. I don't often push house tunes. This is Wipe the Needle featuring Josh Milan. It's a real nice soulful house track that's been pushed for a little while but not been released. I think they're finally releasing it on vinyl first. My Soul Radio have been dropping it. It's just lovely. It's called Tenderly. Wipe the Needle, Josh Milan. It's just nice. Just a lovely, nice, soulful house track. Would have been great if we had a decent summer to have that. But my definite track of the week by a complete, marathon mile. Frank Ocean wrote a song with the amazing James Blake, and it was called Godspeed. As we all know, Frank Ocean was the elephant in the room, totally overrated, totally hyped, basically as useless as two left shoes, of the same type on a day that you have a Veruca as well. No good, don't see the point of Frank Ocean.
Listen to Channel Orange and get back to me, please.
No, it's still rubbish. Overhyped. Come on, listen to it again, you'll realise that there was only four songs.
Bro, I was listening to it last week, I was like, oh my word, I nearly crashed the car, bro.
But Godspeed was always a great track. Always a great track. And I think James Blake's delivery of it, he wrote it, so it's always going to make things kind of easier. But he's taken it a different level. I actually thought Frank's version was all right, but no, James is took it back on and absolutely ran a bit. I loved it. Just love it. There were some other bits last week, but that's the one that really caught my ear, so that's the only one I care about. Anything from you, Nathan? Anything caught your ear?
No, nothing.
Yeah, I don't blame you, mate. There isn't nothing much. Anything for you, Adrian?
No. Nothing whatsoever. No,
it's been a quiet, if the last 2 or 3 weeks, a month, there's been nothing killer. So, okay, look, we've kind of ended the last 2 or 3 of these with various kind of madness in my mind. This one isn't so much of madness. I just need to understand how we got into this state of mindset where we've discussed the ketchup jam, which I was right about. We've discussed the weirdness of the potato salad, because I don't understand why anybody can go out salad, but that's nothing. Marmite Africa Lynx. Please explain.
You beat me to it, man. Literally, I got a prep talk in it. I got a prep talk probably about an hour ago, and I explained what he was doing, and he was
Africa
like,
Lynx.
"Throw this at Nanton." He was like, "Throw this at Nanton."
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was never going to... I thought it was just some stupid bit about marketing from Lynx because, you know, they're just mad like that. And then, can you imagine smelling of Marmite and Lynx Africa at the same time?
No, because I couldn't imagine even eating it, and some people love it. So smelling of it, might be some people who'd be like, you know what, I can rock with this still.
I've got some Tom Ford leather. Yeah, leather... I can't remember the name of this. I think it's ombre or something like that. And that's one of those ones you think, ooh, smell of leather. Ooh, not sure about that. You either love it or you don't. It's very opulent. I kind of get why that would divide people. Because some people don't like the smell of leather. But the smell of Marmite, even if you like Marmite, do you want to smell it on somebody? Nah. And then Marmite peanut butter. Where are we going with this Marmite stuff? Marmite, I like peanut butter. But
are you a Marmite fan?
No, not for me. Not me.
Are you, Nave?
I wish you could see my face since this whole section started. I'm literally sat here with a screwed up face of utter disgust at everything that you previously mentioned. I don't even have anything to add to this because it's just the world's gone mental this year. This is just, we should be expecting stuff like this. Pretty soon, you'll be able to wear Marmite clothes. You just spread them on, and off you go. There we go. How are your Marmite pants fitting? Oh, they're lovely, they are. They're brilliant, because you don't need to wash them. Because you can tell, they hide all manner of sins, and they also cover it with the smell. That's Marmite funny. Underpants are the way forward.
Like I said, even if you like Marmite, It just has to stop and just remain a food stuff, if you want to call it that. But like you said, how far can they push this? I honestly, when I saw the actual, we know who it was. We'll name him, Mr. Daniel, who basically gave this whole spin about the deodorant or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, mate, seriously, that's not even funny. And I literally did think it was a silly advertising campaign, but they actually do make the stuff. And so any of you who believe it's going to be really funny to buy your father a Christmas Marmite Africa kind of gift set.
I don't think it'd be a joke. If people were to buy this, they'd be like, try to jazz it up. Let's give you something different. Like, what?
If my kids bought me that for Christmas, I'm telling you now, I'd say thank you.
Nathan,
I'd go upstairs.
Let's go buy it and I would pack
a suitcase, I would call their grandmother, and I'd say, the kids are coming to live with you. Because they're not staying in my yard thinking this is even halfway funny. Not a chance. They're done. Out of here. Homeless.
Hang on. even though the Calabo is just wild anyway, we've only focused on the Marmite side of it. Like, we're saying it like we rate the freaking
No. Africa I'm not, anyway. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say. I don't even get the Links Africa, so there's no way I'm giving you, yeah, giving anybody any kind of credit for that. It's one of the weirdest tangs. It's not even a fragrance. It's
Is there any other? What are they? They're not flavors, are they?
Fragrance, scents. No, Links. Yeah. Links. About 3 years ago, went to a massive campaign, and they did actually release some stuff, which is great, especially if you're in a gym. Just throw it in your bag, done. But you just, you know, whenever I'm in a gym and I see somebody put out some Links Africa, I'm looking at them hard, thinking, I don't care who you are. I hope you fall down the stairs when you come out of here. I honestly do. You know, there's no time. I don't care if they're real nice.
This is why you should just get the Dove and just keep it moving.
Doves, hey, you need Doves. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Dove. Anyway, us done. We're out of here. Okay, so let's enjoy our breaks, Nathan. We're gonna have a great time, and let's have a staycation.
Well, I'm going for a staycation as well. I'm staying.
Yeah, you're a stay.
You
stay in Oxidcation.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oxidcation. Yeah. All right. Cheers, guys. Let's get out of here, yeah? Enjoy.
Be good now.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Cheers. Hope you enjoyed the pod. We'll be back in the next 10 days or so. And please get involved with our My Middle Name is Trevor Spotify playlist, because there's some great tunes on there, new and old, and it would make your life just so much funkier. Thanks a lot.